Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Steubenville, Ohio, and earned a BS degree from Xavier University. He was drafted in 1967 by the New Orleans Saints and retired 8 years later as their all-time leading receiver. The author of Spiritual Workout of a Former Saint, he's the creator and co-host of Crossing the Goal, which uses a sports show format to encourage men to get into spiritual shape. His name, Danny Abramowitz, and we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Danny Abramowitz, the all-time leading receiver for the New Orleans Saints and the author of The Spiritual Workout of a Former Saint. Danny, welcome. What an honor to have you.
Jack, how you doing, man? How's everything up there? I know you were asking me how the weather was. It's snow and about 16 degrees.
It's winter.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we start by talking about your childhood in Steubenville, Ohio, and your mom and your dad?
Yeah, that's Steubenville, Ohio, born and raised. You know, it's a steel mill coal mining town, and of course, it's gone downhill because of the slowdown in the steel industry. But thank goodness for Franciscan University, which has made it brought it back on the map. But we were raised in a town and that big sports-minded town and very Catholic. A lot of ethnic churches there because a lot of the people came from Italy and Poland and Ireland, whatever, and settled in Steubenville because of the steel mills. And I was raised a good Catholic. Sports played a major role in my life. And I had one scholarship after attending Catholic Central High School, and that was to Xavier University. And, of course, Jack, I took it. And spent 4 great years at Xavier University getting a good education. And then from there, I was drafted in the 17th round by the New Orleans Saints.
Danny, what's the biggest thing you learned from mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from your dad?
I think out here, the worldly things that I learned from my dad and mom were the stick-to-itiveness, toughness, never-give-up attitude. No matter what happens, just keep fighting away, never quit. And then from them also was we never had a big discussion whether we were going to Mass on Sunday. Everyone was going to Mass at 10 o'clock, whether you liked it or not. And my dad and mom were very religious people, but they didn't preach to us or anything like that. We just saw what they were doing. They had their faults like all of us do, but their good points way outweighed their weaknesses. And the devotion to the Blessed Mother for my dad, I remember him saying the rosary. But he never spoke about it much, Jack, to me. In fact, I was talking to some our guys on Cross the Goal show. I can't ever remember somebody really telling me about Jesus Christ in my life. That proclaimed Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ personally? Until I was in my adult life.
The Saints were an expansion club. You got drafted the 17th round. You're 5'10", maybe 180, soaking wet. And they signed you for this outlandish amount of $17,000 a year. And you had an 8-year career with them. Talk about those years.
Well, I got drafted in the 17th round. That was the last round. In fact, I was the 450th or something player drafted. But it made me want to make it even all the more. And I worked out tremendously and then went to training camp. And I asked Tom Fears when I walked in there that all I wanted was a fair chance. And he said, oh, yeah, okay, son. So halfway through training camp, back in those days, we played 6 exhibition games and 14 league games. After the third exhibition game, a man knocked on my door who's called the Turk to bring my playbook and come see the head coach. Well, normally that means you're going to be cut, you're fired. I didn't bring my playbook. I just went downstairs and I walked into Coach Fear's office and I said, Coach, I'm not leaving. You didn't give me a chance. And I sort of caught him off guard, and he looked at me, and he says, you're serious, aren't you? I said, I'm serious as a heart attack. He says, go ahead, go upstairs. I'm going to give you a chance. I walked outside and said, wow, that worked. And then the next game I started and had a real good game and ended up making the team. And then halfway through my rookie season, most of the time, those 7 games, I was playing on special teams, very little at receiver. But the receiver that was playing in front of me got injured and couldn't start the middle of the season, the eighth game, and I ended up starting and caught 12 passes for like 170 yards and never relinquished a position the next 8 years. So it taught me a lesson. Don't ever get hurt. They won't know what the guy on the bench can do if he's sitting on the bench. So had a good career, but it also has its downfalls. Everyone thinks that the pros, just because you get the glory and making the money and all that, that it's all great. It isn't, because a lot of guys don't know how to handle success like that, and I was one of them.
For 50-plus years, Saints fans had lean years. And then on February 6, 2010, Super Bowl 44, New Orleans Saints' Drew Brees beat the Colts 31-17. When you put your head on the pillow that night, what did you think?
Well, I thought it was a great thing for the city because of all those years, just what you spoke about. You know, we started off as a franchise team. I was on that opening kickoff in 1967. We returned the opening kickoff all the way for a touchdown, and it went downhill after that. And then for those guys to win the Super Bowl at a more opportune time, because the city had just gone through Katrina, really was down on their luck, very depressed area. And then this team to come along and to win in the fashion that they won, also against one of their fair-haired boy's sons, Archie Manning's sons, made it even special. And I think that that really added something to that city and gave it some hope and some joy, some peace after all the stuff they had been through.
We're talking to Danny Abramowitz, and I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasul, and we're with Danny Abramowitz, the creator and co-host of Crossing the Goal, which uses a sports show format to encourage men to get into spiritual shape. Danny, when did the Lord come into your life?
Well, Jack, what happened in my career, as I mentioned earlier, that I had some success, and with success, you know, popularity starts coming about, and people start slapping you on the back, and you start buying into all that crap. And at this time, I married my high school sweetheart, and we had one kid, then another kid came along, and success. I kept having success, and with that, I started drinking and partying and creating a lot of pressure on my marriage. And finally, in the end of the 74 season, I retired from football, and we had 3 kids at the time, I was drinking pretty heavily, and I'd tell my wife, I'm sorry, I won't do this anymore, and kept doing it. When I retired, I did the broadcast for the Saints for 5 years and was in the business world, too, and my drinking and partying continued on. And finally, one morning I woke up after being hungover and everything, looked at my wife and in the bed and the three children in their rooms, and came back in to shave and looked at myself for the first time, really into my eyes, down into my soul, and I looked at my in the mirror and said, "I hate this person. If this is life, life's not worth living." And I was desperate, and I had lost all faith in myself. I couldn't stand what I stood for. And I called a priest friend of mine who I went to go see, and he directed me to a guy named Buzzy, who eventually sent me, asked me if I would go to AA. And I did on December 15th, 1981. I went to my first AA meeting, which ended up being the greatest thing ever happened to me. And what's amazing about that, too, that evening I had called my brother and said, "Hey, Joe, both of us are drunks. Let's go to AA tonight." And he came with me, and we haven't looked back since. That experience then directed me to know that the Lord wanted more from me, because I had become, attending these AA meetings, I became sober but not serene. And I was searching for more, and the Lord was looking for me too. You know, the hound of heaven, he was after me. And through a friend of mine, I got invited to a charismatic prayer meeting. And I was in this meeting, Jack, and people started praising the Lord, and I said, "Let me get out of this place." But I looked around, and I saw all the smiles on people's faces, and I said, "That's what I want." And finally, eventually, the person that had invited me to go to a Life in the Spirit seminar, which is basically how the Holy Spirit can work in our lives, gives us the strength that we can rely on Him as our power source, and that we have to commit our life to Him and turn our life over to Jesus Christ. And that's what I did.
If there's a listener tonight, Danny, that says, "When I look in the mirror, Danny, I hate what I see. I know about AA, but I'm too embarrassed to go." What do you say?
Well, you know, that's the devil trying to convince you you're okay, you don't need anything, and you're going down the tubes. I just realized the number one thing in AA is to admit that you have a problem, and that I admitted that this thing was bigger than me. Normally, Jack, as I told you growing up, I was taught, "I can overcome, don't give up, keep fighting no matter what, do blah, blah, blah." I thought I could accomplish things on my own. And a lot of things in sports I did, I thought I did, but then this thing was bigger than me, and I knew it, and that's when I turned to the Lord. And the Lord, when you ask Him for help, He'll never say no. He'll always direct you to, and He, like He did me, He directed me to AA. He'll direct you to whatever He knows that will help you. And the AA was the vehicle He used to get me closer to Him.
Speaking of bigger than me, pornography. It's an epidemic.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Just men, women too.
Yeah.
What do you say to somebody who says, "I'm just powerless over it"?
I would tell them to go to our website. We have a Dr. Peter Kleponis who has a blog on our website that you can get in contact with him. He goes through the various procedures of why and all this kind of stuff. Not only why, there's a way out. It might seem to a lot of you people out there that are hooked on internet pornography or pornography in general that there's no way out. There is a way out, that you turn to the Lord and turn to these kind of things. We have a DVD on our website, too. You can talk about pornography. We brought Dr. Kleponis on our Crossing the Goal show and went over the various things of how you get trapped by pornography, but there is a way out, and it's big now. It's the number one confessed sin going on right now.
The website, www.crossingthegoal.com.
Yes.
CrossingTheGoal.com. Speaking of which, that's the name of this weekly show on EWTN.
Right.
And this is a show to encourage men to get into spiritual shape. It's you, Peter Herbeck, who's been on the show a few years ago, fabulous guy out of Ann Arbor.
Yes.
Curtis Martin and Brian Patrick.
Right.
Tell us about Crossing the Goal, Danny.
Well, Crossing the Goal is, you know, I've been involved with men's ministry, Jack, for 25 years. The Lord put on my heart once I started getting straight that I said, Lord, if you need me, I think I can be of service to you in dealing with men. Don't ever use that prayer, Jack, because he answers that all the time. And he spoke to me and says, I want you to evangelize Catholic men. And that's been over 25 years ago, and I haven't stopped since. That's been burning part of my life and really passion to do it, because I see out here men, Jack, that are really lost. In our church, probably the number one problem is male spirituality. Men have dropped the ball as spiritual heads of their family. If you look out here, attendance in mass in the Catholic Church in general is down. It's below 30%. It's like 25 to 30%. But male attendance is like at 15 or less. So what I try to do is evangelize that 85% that it's not going. And how we do that is through the Cross and the Goal show. And it's amazing how that happened, because I did a show on EWTN because I am on the board of EWTN. They asked me to do a show, and I did one. Was a talking head, just myself, and sort of talk about spiritual workout, from my book, The Spiritual Workout of a Former Saint. But then they wanted me to do another show about a year later, and I said, well, I don't want to do a talking head. I want something different so I can attract men to it. And I prayed on it, and finally the Lord says one day in adoration, he says, Danny, what's men really like? And I said, sports, especially football. He said, well, what's the number one watched show? Sports Center and NFL Today. He said, that's what you do it on. So I sort of put the idea away in my head, and I says, okay, I contacted EWTN, this is what I want to do. I said, these are the people I want to use, because I knew Curtis and Peter Herbeck, and I didn't know Brian, a friend of mine brought. So I want manly-looking guys. And then the name of Crossing the Goal, it's funny who came up. My wife is the one that came up with the idea of Crossing the Goal name. And then we said that we wanted to use a format that uses sports analogies and sports set, like our set looks like a Sports Center set or a NFL Today set, and that we want to come across using sports terminology to get a spiritual message across. And it's been very effective.
We're talking to Danny Abramovitz. If you want to learn more, www.crossingthegoal.com. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula, and we're with Danny Abramowitz, who played for the Saints for 8 years, coached under Ditka, etc., for many, many years, and now is ministering to men about God. Danny, what do you say to somebody who says, hey, you've got flaws, you're not perfect, who are you to tell me what to do?
I'd say you're right. I am a weak instrument, and it proves that if God can do something in my life, anybody has a chance. Because I was bad, as Paul so aptly puts in the Bible. When I am weakest, then that's when I'm strongest. And what he means by that, what I mean by it is, when I'm weakest, when I'm away from myself, when I'm vulnerable, that means I have to rely on God for everything. And that's what I do. So he'll use me in the background, because I played in the NFL, coached in the NFL. Guys will listen to me. And I bring up my flaws and how I was caught up in this web of evil, and but through the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, He can change my life. He can also change your life.
Through the years of ministering to men, Danny Abramowitz, what have men that you've ministered to taught you?
That's a good point, Jack. Whenever I go speak, whether it's across the Gold Conference or a lot of times I go give missions or do whatever I got to do, I always get more out of than what I put in. What I mean by that is I'll go there and I tell people that I'm a weak instrument and God's going to use me today and He's going to move powerfully in this whatever setting we are in. But what happens is that I tell them that I'll get more out of this than I put in, meaning the Lord will teach me some lessons in this also. And I've always get wonderful feedback and because I make myself transparent, that there's nothing hidden. That I tell the story of my AA or my faults, my weaknesses, not for people to say, oh, poor Danny had to go through that, or oh, Danny this, or oh, Danny. No, no. I do it so it can be helpful to other people, to let them know, hey, don't be afraid, like you said, asked me the question just a few minutes ago. Don't be fearful. Trust in the Lord. Put it all out there in front of Him. The first thing I always tell people, go back to confession. I don't care if it's been 10. We've had some of these conferences where guys haven't been back to confession 30, 40 years. So just go back, open yourself up, empty yourself out of all that sin, and let God fill you with His Spirit. And that's what I try to bring is hope. Always a message. I always bring up, we have faults. We have many things, sin going on in our life. Whatever it is going on in our life, there is hope. And the hope is in the Lord. If our hope's out here in the world, if it's out here in the NFL, it's out here in business, or it's out here, whatever it is, and you don't have the Lord in your life, you're going to lose hope. If this world is all that we have to look forward to, that's not very good. But if we live in this world with Christ in our life, with faith in our hope, and hope in our life, that our ultimate goal, crossing the goal, is eternal salvation with Him. See, that's what's happening in this world out here right now in this country. When we take God out of the equation, it doesn't work. If you look at everyone looking out here, it's an economic problem, it's a social problem, No, it's a spiritual problem, a spiritual warfare going on out here. And that what's happening is we're taking the Lord out of the way, and when He's not in it, it just won't work.
Danny, as I listen to Crossing the Goal on EWTN, and one common theme that you and the other three men talk about is man is the spiritual head of the family. What does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, God designed it that way, that the Lord should be the spiritual head of the family. Wives are doing their part. See, the wives are getting, and women are getting frustrated out here because men have not taken the responsibility of being the spiritual head of the family. They take care of the sports part of it, and a lot of times they provide, you know, a good school for the kid to go to. But the most important thing, because it lasts forever, is the spiritual, and they're dropping their wife off and kids off at church and going back home watching sports or whatever the hell they're doing. I don't know what they're doing, but they're not there. And the young, especially the young boys, they love mom, but they're going to emulate dad. So they'll go to church because mom wants them to. And then when they go to college, all they do is miss mass the first time, second time, and then they end up graduating from college and getting married. What do, Jack? The same thing that their dad did. Here, honey, you go to church, and I'll pick you guys up later. No, the man has to be the head of the family. That doesn't mean he's a dictator, that he has all the answers. They work together. See, the wife's frustrated because she's doing all the chores and duties that she has to do as a wife, plus taking on the man's duties of a lot of things. The guys really almost are acting like children out here. 50-some years old still playing video games and fantasy football and stuff and not taking care of the responsibilities at home.
Speaking of moms, so many moms today are single moms.
Yeah.
And they're trying to do both jobs, and tough love is so hard for the mom to give.
Yeah.
Talk to a single mom out there tonight who wants to give the kid everything in the name of love.
I mean, I think it's very difficult for them out here. That's why the divorce rate, that's why I talked about earlier, we need to touch the men. We need to bring men back. Because if you want the divorce rate to drop, touch men. If you want more priests, touch men. If you want more solid guys involved with the Eucharistic ministries, the various things at church, touch the men. We have to touch the men because these women are under tremendous pressure out here trying to do the responsibility of doing the work to raising children, especially boys. It's difficult because sometimes the mom don't what to say to a young boy, or he becomes sassy and very belligerent. It's difficult. And I just ask them out there to just have faith, keep trusting, ask the Lord to guide you, and you'll do the best you can. That's why I also believe, Jack, that sports plays a big part, because a lot of times when there is a divorce in a family or something, a lot of times a coach or a priest can take up the slack where the male is missing in the equation because of divorce or separation or whatever. So for you women out there, just keep striving, keep asking the Lord to help you and intercede on your behalf for your children.
We're talking to Danny Abramovitz, and I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with the author of Spiritual Workout of a Former Saint, Danny Abramovitz. Danny, a lot of people today can't forgive themselves. With this economic tsunami and all these issues, you know, they're in a rut. They've made wrong decisions. Maybe they're divorced, etc. They've lost a job. And they're almost become paralyzed. They lose hope. They just can't forgive themselves. How do they learn to do that?
Well, I think that you're exactly correct, that there's a lot of men out here that have lost hope because of the various reasons you brought up. I can remember sitting in my backyard, in fact, when I had gone through all that drinking, and I was back on the path, but because of my decision-making process during these drinking years, I put us in a tremendous financial bind. In fact, we lost our house, lost everything. We were down to $500 to our name, and I was sitting in the backyard praying and crying, Lord, help me. And my wife says, you know, this too will pass. The Lord will provide something. And about a day or two later, I got a call from a person that said, you know, wanted to offer me a job paying more than what I was making when I was playing professional football. So, yeah, I was whipped down, but me and my wife together prayed, and she lifted me up in a time when I needed lifted up. And that I was very shameful of what I put my family through. You know, I was mad at myself, ashamed of myself, but the Lord said, yeah, you made a mistake. That's why they got erasers on pencils. You come back, you come to me, and I'll lift you up. And that's exactly what happened. It's not just once in a while. It's not like we're going to have one trial and it's over in our life. Sometimes the crosses come in multiples, and you just got to trust in the Lord. Now I live my life every day, every single day, with a prayer life. I start with a prayer because of the Lord, through his power and through the grace that I receive. Me and my wife daily go to Mass. Me and my wife daily pray extensively for at least 45 minutes to an hour. we go to confession monthly. My wife says I need to go more often than that. But we do the things like that and reach out and always ask the Lord. I got my faults. I'm impatient. I do a lot of things, but we've got to learn, Jack, to laugh at ourselves sometimes. Me and my wife were talking about it, how forgetful we get sometimes and how we just start laughing. Something will happen and we'll start laughing. We got to do more of that. Sometimes we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, and there is a lot of pressure out here. Guys that lost their retirement, guys are without work. But the trust in the Lord. Because the Lord will tell me a lot of times, Danny, do you really trust? So sometimes when things are going good, it's easy to trust me. But what happens, Danny, if this happens or that happens? Are you still going to trust me? And that's what we've got to do. We've got to trust and rely on him to give us the strength. Now, we've got to use our own talents and abilities. And sometimes we feel like, oh, I don't have the talent and ability. Yeah, you still have it, but the devil's whipping you down. You got to dust yourself off and get up and get going. Jesus Christ fell 3 times in the crucifixion, but he got up every single time. And that's what he wants us to do, that we're going to stumble maybe multiple times, but we got to get back up and trust in him, pick up our cross, and march on. Before the resurrection came the cross. Without the cross, there's no glory in the resurrection.
A couple times this evening, Danny, you've talked about that God talks to you.
Yeah.
What do you say to a listener who says, I pray, but God's never talked to me. In fact, he never answers my prayers.
Because we're talking too much. He won't interrupt you. He's very polite. He did that to me. He says, Lord, why don't you answer me? He says, Danny, if you'd keep quiet once in a while, I can't get a word in edgewise. So we got to do what we call be still, be quiet, and know that I am God. That you need to pray in the morning. A lot of times that you say your prayers, whatever the prayers you're saying, but then you just sit there and allow the Lord to speak to you. See, he'll speak to you in your heart, not in your head. Your head will sometimes confuse you. You have to listen and know that the devil's trying to speak to you also, to be able to discern what spirit is. And that's through multiple times. It's not just praying once in a while. You know, when we get in trouble, big guy upstairs, please help me in this. Well, it's not big guy. God, the Father, you know, you pray and worship the Lord, give him praise and thanksgiving, and daily come to him, and he will speak to your heart and lead you and guide you.
It's so hard for people to surrender to God.
Well, the problem is out here, Jack, is we got so much. As soon as you wake up, you turn darn Sports Center on or radio or TV. You got the stock market. You got the iPod, the Peapod, all kind of pods, blackberries, blueberries, purpleberries. We got all this technology. We never quiet. How can the Lord speak when so much commotion is going on in our life? And then also we're stirring inside our spirit that we're not pleased with ourselves, that we're running in all kind of directions. St. Augustine says, our hearts will never rest until it rests with thee. And that's with the truth. Until we turn our life and give the Lord full reign in our hearts. And the door to our heart, it has a funny door. It only has a doorknob on the inside, that we have to open that door and invite Jesus Christ into our life to be number one, and he'll come in. He's knocking. He's been knocking. He was knocking at my door for years. I heard him knocking, but I refused to open up. I wanted to do things my way. Well, hell's filled with my way. Once I turned over and gave it to Jesus Christ, I do it his way, not my way.
The most used phrase in the Bible, Danny Abramowitz, is be not afraid.
Right.
I'm afraid. What do you say to someone who says, I'm afraid?
There's a good fear now. Is there a good fear in the Lord, or are you afraid because you're relying too much on yourself? Now, the fear of the Lord, the good fear of the Lord is that I am in awe of God, that I know that I need him. Without him, I cannot do it. Now, fear of the Lord, a fear of failure, a fear of losing my wealth, a fear of if I turn my life over, I won't have all these toys that I'm playing with out here, the cars, the money, the whatever it is. Well, if that's what you're building your hope and everything on, you're in trouble. Now, fear of the Lord tells you, you trust in me. You come, give up everything, as he told the rich man. You know, rich man says, "I'm following you, Lord." He said, "Well, then give up everything and come follow me." He couldn't do it because he had so many things. We have to be able to know that everything that we have comes from God, our very breath, that everything we do, with everything we say, comes from him. We owe everything to him. If we realize that and we're in awe of that, then the path in our life is going to change, and we're going to feel good about ourselves because we're not going to rely totally on ourselves. We're going to rely in the Lord helping us.
Danny Abramowitz, could you lead us in a closing prayer tonight?
Be glad to. Lord Jesus, right now we ask you, Lord, to send your spirit upon all these people that are listening out here. Lord, you know that there's a lot of hurt, a lot of anger, a lot of discouragement. But we know that, Lord, that you will supply all of our wants and needs. All we have to do is ask. Lord, I ask you to send your spirit upon the hearts of all these people, to let them feel your love. And Mary, we ask you to intercede on behalf of your son. And now we say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Danny Abramowitz, what a shining example of a lay person focused on helping other men with their faith. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Jack, and pray for me. God bless.
God bye-bye. Bless. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spawn.
Believe in yourself.